Employers can do all kinds of nice things for their workers, but if they make the workers work in poor or contaminated conditions, they may be missing the boat on environmental justice. The concept is important enough that Oregon has an environmental justice task force keeping an eye on state activities in that area. It meets in Medford this week. And the meeting on Friday at the Medford Library includes input from the public in the afternoon. The sponsors for the sessions include the organization's Northwest Forest Workers Center, where Carl Wilmson is the executive director and one of our guests on the exchange today. Welcome, Carl.
Thank you.
And also one of the other organizations is Piñeros y Campesinos Unidos, which is PICUN by short. Ramon Ramirez is the director there and also our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Ramon, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Each of you in turn, let's start with you, Ramon. Tell us what your organization is about.
Well, we're the Farm Worker Union in the state of Oregon. We're just celebrating our 30th anniversary. We had a big celebration up in Portland, Full House, great event. Our primary work is to improve the living and working conditions of farm workers. We have been around for a while, so we are a community labor union that also does, besides organizing in the fields, organizing farm workers, we also build housing for farm workers. We have some of the best housing in America in the northern Willamette Valley. We have 8 projects in 5 different cities. We also have a learning institute, a leadership institute called Capaces, in which we're building the leadership for the future generations of PICUN. And we have our own 24-hour radio station and Radio Movimiento La Voz del Pueblo, movement radio, the voice of the people. And, you know, we started it back in 1985 with a little less than 100 members, and today our membership is around 6,500 farm workers just located in the northern Willamette Valley, which would be the counties of Marion and Polk.
All right, so you have continued to grow over the years, contrary to what's happening in a lot of the union movement.
Yes. In fact, we're being contacted by some of the other unions, like the AFL-CIO, SCIU, among others, AFSCME, to teach them how did we build PICUN, and how did we build an effective and strong labor community union. And I tell them, you know, we basically took a chapter of the labor history in America and we built the union based on the concept of labor and community, based on the work that the CIO, the Congress of Industrial Organizations, that was mainly made up of immigrants back in the 20s and 30s, we just copied them. And so when they formed the union movement back then, what they did was form the union in different ethnic communities. For example, they had organized in the German community, in the Irish community, in the Polish community, so that when the workers went out on strike on the particular workplace, the owners of the company that tried to break the union and tried to break the strike could not, because they would go to these communities to try to wedge the workers. And the union they were a step ahead of the companies because they were already organized, providing valuable services to these workers, and they became associate members of the union. And that is the strength of the labor movement. That was the strength of the labor movement back then. And I think that the labor movement, and it's going to be different in the next 5 years because of some of the current Supreme Court cases that are coming up that are going to gut the power that unions have. So they're looking at ways to increasing their membership and their power. And actually they're asking us, and we're doing a number of trainings and talks with some of these unions, and they're really listening to us. So in addition to being a force in the Latino community, we are the largest Latino organization, I would say, in the Northwest. We also now have one foot in labor and we have one foot in the immigrant rights community. So we're in a pretty good place right now, and we're kind of in a transition where, you know, we're doing a generational shift. So our secretary treasurer that was in that position for 25 years has since left the organization, is still working with us doing leadership capacity, but our new secretary treasurer is 30 years old.
So, okay.
And then I'm Nick, so I'll be transitioning out of my position fairly soon, probably in the next couple of years, and we have already people that we're training to take my position.
All right, so Carl Wilmson, I want to turn to you now. Is the Northwest Forest Workers Center a similar role for people who work in forests rather than on farms?
Yes, it's similar. Our mission is to improve the lives and livelihoods of forest workers and harvesters of non-timber forest products in Northern California, Oregon, and Washington. And when I say forest workers, I'm talking about the workers in what's commonly called the forestry services industry, which is not logging. It's the tree planters, the thinners, the people who do the thinning in the forest to protect homes and businesses from catastrophic wildfire. They do all the tasks, erosion control, wildlife habitat improvement, all those sorts of things that are necessary in tending the forest lands of the United States. And the harvesters of non-timber forest products are the people who harvest wild mushrooms. The matsutake season is going on in Oregon right now over in the Eastern Cascades, actually all over the Cascades. And huckleberry pickers, floral greens pickers, salal, and beargrass, things like that. There are hundreds of non-timber forest products, and we act as an advocacy organization. We are a liaison between the harvester communities and the Forest Service land management agencies. For the workers in the forestry services industry, we do a lot of education on workers' rights because most of the workers in that industry are immigrants from Latin America, mostly Mexico, but not all. And they come to this country not being really aware of their rights, not knowing that they even have any rights in the United States, unfamiliar with our legal system, unfamiliar with the way forest land management is done in the United States, and so we provide a lot of information and education around that. We have what's called a promotora program, which in English, promotoras are called community health workers, and they are people from the community who are trained to go out into the communities and provide information on health matters. These kinds of programs have been used successfully among farm workers for over 30 years, addressing all kinds of health issues, prenatal health for women, AIDS among farm workers, all kinds of, you know, children's health, all kinds of things. We are unique in that we focus on the needs of forest workers and, in particular, occupational safety and health. So we do a lot of training around preventing injuries on the job in the forestry services industry, which incidentally has very high rates of on-the-job injuries and illnesses and fatalities.
All right, let's move back into the subject then of environmental justice, which is our discussion topic here in the Jefferson Exchange with Carl Wilmson of the Northwest Forest Workers Center and Ramon Ramirez from Pioneros y Campesinos Unidos, or PACUN. When we talk about environmental justice as it relates to forest workers, Carl, what are some of the key issues within that description?
Well, the key issues are the way that the working conditions are, the kinds of abuses that forest workers face on the job. There's a lot of wage theft in the form of workers not getting paid overtime or getting short pay. In other words, they might work an eight-hour day and only get paid for 7 hours.
Mm-hmm. But specifically to environmental sorts of justice issues.
Yes. Well, the issue here is that they are doing work to improve the environment, the forest lands of the United States, and yet they are disproportionately exposed to poor working conditions. There are also issues with pesticides among forest workers. There's not been a lot of research done, but the data that we have indicates that forest workers are exposed on the job and do suffer illnesses from pesticides. So that's one of the issues that we work on.
The pesticide issue in particular seems to be one that's trickiest in Oregon. And in fact, there are more stringent regulations on pesticide use in other states. How strong a move are you making at the Northwest Forest Worker Center to try to get Oregon's regulations similar to what Washington and California have, for example?
Well, this actually, pesticides for forest workers is a new issue for us, so we're just getting into it. We've been focused more on issues around retaliation for reporting injuries on the job,
Okay. And
just informing forest workers about their rights.
All right, so more directly about how the workers are involved. So Ramon Ramirez at Pecun, what sorts of environmental justice issues are on your plate there?
Well, they're very similar to what the reforestation workers or forest workers are facing. First and foremost, environmental issues that farm workers are facing is a lack of respect and dignity in terms of wages, in terms of working conditions. Farm workers work daily with a number of toxic chemicals, pesticides. And the fact of the matter is that these deadly pesticides are, we have no idea what the long-term acute effect are that pesticides are having on workers, let alone the general consuming public. Just to give you an example, we were able to ban dinoset back in 1987. And in 1994, in the Woodburn area, in 1994, almost 7 years later, the DEQ of the city of Salem found unacceptable traces of dinoset in the drinking water in the city of Salem. So these pesticides are affecting people. There's never been a national study done of farm workers, let alone the consuming public. The only study that was done by the Government Accounting Office of Congress, which is the investigative arm of Congress, that stated that farm workers back in 2001, more than 300,000 farm workers on a yearly basis are poisoned by pesticides. And that's the only study that's ever done. So farm workers work in some cases, like, for example, in strawberries and caneberries, work with up to 20 or 25 different chemicals have been sprayed on those crops. So by the time the workers picked it, they're in direct contact with these crops. So let me just throw out some statistics about farm workers in terms of just the exposure to pesticides. Farm worker life expectancy rate is 49 years of age compared to 78 for the general population. We suffer 25% more cancer rate than the general population. Miscarriages among farm worker women are high, are really high. Just in the county I live in, which is in Marion County, an informal study was done by a group of doctors that were doing their residency at one of the local farm worker migrant clinics. And they started seeing a rash of miscarriages and said they did an informal 2-year study. This was non-scientific, by the way. And they determined that farm worker women were suffering 50% more miscarriages among the farm worker women than the general population. So there's something wrong with that picture. So what we're doing directly to try to prevent that, more health risks to farm workers is we looked at the current population of farm workers who do piece rate crops. These are the crops like strawberries. These are the crops like squash, row crops. And we determined that at least 70% of the workforce is indigenous, meaning that we have a lot of farm workers coming from southern Mexico or Central America that don't even speak Spanish. They're speaking, just in the town I live in, Woodburn, we have 16 different indigenous groups that we've identified so far, and every day it's growing. And so what we've done is we have a pesticide project just targeting at the indigenous population to educate people about the dangers of pesticides and then what to do about it, right? What to do in terms of, like, you know, what are some basic steps that you can do to prevent more exposure to your body.
Right,
first and foremost, we want to be able to get, there's a lot of kids working in the field. There's about, every year we go out to the field to do a survey, and we, even though the numbers are down, we still have a high percentage. We think about 6% of the people that work in the field in strawberries and in caneberries are children, and they shouldn't be out there.
Right,
and these kids are susceptible to to pesticides.
Right, a lot of work left to do. I can see that, and I want to let listeners know that the environmental justice discussion in Medford for the public begins at 11:30 on Friday. There'll be a panel of workers' rights advocates, which includes you guys, and then the task force will receive public testimony from 2 to 3:30. That's at the Medford Library, the 2015 Oregon Environmental Justice Forum on Friday. Ramon Ramirez, the director of Pineros y Campesinos Unidos Picun, thank you for joining us, and Carl Wilmson from Northwest Forest Workers Center, thank you as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care, guys.